All right, guys. Great to be with you today. And then we've got next week, right, Eric? And Eric, I'm going to need you today with your microphone to do your Vanna White imitation and go around and help everybody say something. Mr. Tester? Yeah, you doing okay? Hope you don't feel abandoned sitting over there by yourself. Okay, good. All right, so guys, so I want you to remember, Rob and I were just talking about how the larger catechism was developed to take what's said in the shorter catechism to a greater expansiveness and intensity for pastors to train elders was basically its purpose. And this, of course, the shorter catechism was a basic discipleship tool for fathers with their families, for individuals, new Christians, to be given how to kind of work your way from Christianity 101 to Christianity 201. I was just sharing last night with my small group how important this is, because today, when you meet, when people become Christians or people become new Christians, there's all kinds of things that back when I was growing up, because of being in a culture that had been impacted by Christianity, you could assume them to have already picked up a bunch of stuff. Well, you can't do that today. And that's why I love the shorter catechism. It just starts at foundation. So why did God make you? Question number one, the chief end of man, not the only end of man. We have multiple purposes that God's given us in life, but the governing, the chief purpose, is whatever those purposes are, you're to do them in a way that God is glorified and you enjoy Him. So your relationship is one of joy with Him, and your responsibility is to glorify Him. And the two are interconnected. The more you glorify, the more you enjoy, the more you enjoy, the more you glorify. Well, then the question becomes, how is it that we are to, how can we know the God that we're to glorify, and how are we to enjoy Him? In other words, how do we know who He is? And the Bible, the Catechism then says, well, the way that you glorify and enjoy Him is by the Scriptures, that the Scriptures are our only rule of faith and practice. And so God's word that is infallible, inerrant, and sufficient is that which directs us to know God and to make God known and to embrace Him and glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. And all that we need to do that is in the Bible. The third thing is, well, then what do the Bible principally teach? Well, this is where we took a little bit of extra time last week about the Word of God, how we got it, why we believe it's inspired, inerrant, and infallible, sufficient. And we took the time to go through that, because what do the Scriptures principally teach? They principally teach us who God is and what our duty is in our relationship to Him. You know, to who God is. Who is the God in whom we believe? Who God is, and what is it I am to do to glorify Him and enjoy Him? How do I glorify Him, enjoy Him? The Scriptures principally teach that. We used to put that in a wonderful little hymn in my home church when I was growing up, and the hymn was called Trust and Obey. It's that simple. Trust who? Trust God. Why do I trust God? Because of who He is. That's why. And He is worthy of the trust, and He delivers. He is trustworthy. Now that I trust Him, now that I believe in Him, how do I follow Him? How do I obey Him? And so the Scriptures principally teach us who God is and what our duty is, not that we do to be saved, but what our duty is to Him who creates us, redeems us, and sustains us. Well, now we're ready to start learning about God. And this is one that, you know, used to, you could kind of assume some people around you, you know, they'd been to VBS, they had been to Sunday school. Now, they weren't Christians yet. They had some churchianity. They didn't have Christianity yet. But and probably been inoculated enough that they hadn't come to Christ yet, but you're going to work on. But there were certain things you could almost assume that you can't do that anymore. So this next question has assumed great importance, and we took some time on it. What is God? And now we're going to get to who is God when we get to our relationship with Him. Who is God? Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. But right now, what is God? The God who creates, redeems, and sustains. What is He? And so we then, we had our answer there that, first of all, God is a spirit. Now, that helps and it doesn't help. It helps because we know God is a spirit. How does it doesn't help? Well, God's not the only being that's a spirit. Angels are spirits. You are a spirit. Do you remember I'm sure you were there, the Sunday night series on If I Should Die Before I Awake? Absent from the body? What's absent from the body? Your soul, your spirit. Absent from the body. See, you are, when Adam was nothing more than a corpse until God breathed into him the breath of life. He became a spirit, a living soul at that point. I mean, you get that feeling, don't you, when you get on an airplane and they come in and say, how many souls are on board? When you remove the soul, what happens? They're dead. James tells us, what is death? The separation of the soul from the body. And so we are spirit, but not like God. God is unique. God is a spirit, and then it gives three words, remember? What are the three words? Anybody remember what they are? Oh, you can go ahead and read them. Infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. Well, what about angels who are spiritual beings? What about us who are spiritual beings? I mean, this coming Lord's Day, we're coming to worship God. How? In spirit and in truth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. So we're spiritual beings. But what's the difference? God is what? Infinite, eternal, unchangeable. Angels, you, finite, not infinite. Temporal, not eternal. But you, if you come to Christ, you have the gift of eternal life instead of eternal death. In the new heavens and new earth instead of hell. A separation from God. Infinite, we're finite. Angels are finite. Eternal, temporal. Angels were created beings. They're not eternal. God has no beginning and end. He makes beginnings and ends. And unchangeable, immutable. But angels are not unchangeable. How do we know angels aren't unchangeable? How do we know they're, let me put it on the positive. How do we know they're changeable? How about Satan? He did what? Fell. Was what? Cast out. Came under what? Judgment. Will spend eternity where? Hell. That's some serious changeable. That's some changing. What about us? Praise God, we are changeable as He brings us from death into life, as He grows us in grace, as He takes us, instead of our ticket to hell, we now get to pass go and collect new heavens and a new earth in Jesus. So there you see the contrast, you see. Then, that's what we call the incommunicable attributes of God. The omnis. God is, He's infinite. That means He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He is omnipotent. All power, all knowledge, all presence, always present. But not us. We're finite. We're changeable. We are temporal. And then we get to those communicable attributes. Those attributes that belong to God, we will never have. those attributes that God created that are marred by sin, He is renewing and restoring. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being. We are beings. We are. We're beings. God is a being, an eternal, unchangeable, infinite being. But we are beings, and therefore we have wisdom. That's an attribute of God that we now have, not at the level. We don't have infinite wisdom. We don't have eternal wisdom. We don't have immutable wisdom. But we have wisdom. We have power. We have holiness. Now, God sets us apart, sanctify, make them holy, and then pursue holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, and justice and goodness and truth, that God has given us all of that. And then we went to, well, if that's God and He's holy, then we know the answer to the next question. Are there more gods than one? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I can't remember the verse. I think it's 31, 32. I can't remember the verse. But anyway, it says, God is one. Deuteronomy 6, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. The word echad, which means singular with multiplicity, and not singular with singularity, but singular with multiplicity. It's the word that's used for a grape, because there's a cluster in that grape that bent the pole when they brought it back. It was an echad grape. So here is the here is our God who is one. And then came the next question we studied, which is how many persons are there in the Godhead? And we found out that God dwells in three persons. That's why you'll hear me quote, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. May the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the love of God the Father, and the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. That's why at baptism, this isn't one God who appears three ways. This is one God who exists in three persons. He's not a God with three uniforms that He wears. I mean, at baptism, where's Jesus? In the water. Who speaks from heaven? This is my beloved Son. Who's speaking from heaven? The Father. And who comes upon from heaven upon Jesus? For the Holy Spirit. Well, if you're a quick change artist, you got to do some serious quick changing, because all three are in action at one time. And then we get to the baptismal formula, baptizing in the singular name, not names. So we don't have three gods, nor do we have one God with three roles. We have one God in three persons, not tritheism, and not a monism of a God who has just different roles or uniforms to wear, but one God who dwells in three persons. So now we move to this God who dwells in three persons, and now we get to know some things about this God in the question that is before us today. And that's this. What are the decrees of God? So I need to volunteer here. In fact, I need a couple of volunteers. Don't hesitate, because we don't have time for you to hesitate. Can I have somebody to volunteer for James 1:18? James 1:18. Don't hesitate. Thank you, George. Can I get a volunteer for Jeremiah 10:23? Thank you. I do appreciate it. How about 13:23? Hello. Thanks. What about, I need someone for Psalm 110, verse 3. Didn't I just give you one? Yeah. Didn't you just volunteer for, I don't know, you're messing me up here. Who's got Jeremiah 10:23? Who's got Jeremiah 13:23? You do. What did I just say? Who's got Psalm 110, verse 3? Thanks, David. All right. So, all right, we got it all now. Okay. Now, so let's go to this matter of the decrees of God. Now, there's a couple of reasons why we're talking about it. One reason is, let's just take a look at Ephesians chapter 1. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Is that, you got a better option there for a preacher? Okay. I can give you a couple of better options. Ephesians chapter 1. Now look with me at verse 3. Now let me just set this up just a little bit for you. Ephesians 1, after his introduction, his salutation, he comes to Ephesians 1, and this is, Paul loves to do this. He starts with a doxology. See that word blessed three times, doxa, doxa. We get the word doxology, blessed or blessed. You say blessed when you're talking about what you've received. You say blessed when you're talking about one who can give blessing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed are we. So how would you read this? You would read it, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. There's some form of doxa three times in terms of its noun, verb, and proper grammatical usage. You can show that by the way you pronounce it. So this is... At verse 3 begins a sentence that's 228 words long. But it's not just a run-on sentence. There is amazing symmetry and amazing precision to this. And like almost all great hymns, creeds, confessions, it becomes a pattern for great hymns, creeds, and confessions because it's Trinitarian. It's God the Father, verses 1 through 6, God the Son, verses 7 through 12, and God the Holy Spirit, verses 13 and 14. Now look with me at it. Walk through with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So the next time somebody asks you if you've got the second blessing, what can you say? Absolutely. I got them all. I've been blessed with what? Second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us. So what is His... That's another... Give me another translation. This would be very, very... relevant for today, just as He elected us. Today you're going to the poll to what? Make a choice. All right? So just as He chose us, elected us, that's a what? That's not something for us to hide. Oh, you believe in election? Oh, yeah, I do. In fact, I not only believe in it, I rejoice in it. In fact, I not only believe it and rejoice in it, I count it as a blessing. It's one of my blessings that I did not deserve, that I've been given. So just as He elected us in Him... Now, when did He do this? When I allowed Him to. Right? No. When did He do it? Before I ever existed. This is what we call... foreknowledge, not foresight. It's not before the world began He foresaw what I'd do. Before I existed, He knew me. That's the word of intimacy. Abraham what? Knew Sarah. That's a word of intimacy. Before we existed, He lovingly chose us. So here we are, we're chosen in Him when? Before the foundation of the world. Why did He do it? Here's another blessing, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. By the way, when you see the periods, they divided this one sentence in the original up into a bunch of sentences because we can't read like that. So they got a period there for you, but actually in the original, this thing just keeps going. I mean, you think comma more than period. And so here we are, in love, He what? Predestined. Before, and now we're back to before, we're back to that, before the foundation of the world. Before I existed, He destined. Give you another word. Decreed. He decreed, in love He predestined us for what? Adoption. So He's even aware that I would exist in the orphanage of sin. But He is out of love, before I existed, predestined us, elects me to be adopted, what? To Himself. Into a relationship with Him. Now, if I'm adopted and I'm in a relationship with Him, what am I? I'm a son. What is He? Now, Jesus can teach me to pray, Our Father. Because He chose to adopt us as sons. To Himself as sons, how? It will cost Him His Son to do this. Grace is free to us, but it cost the One who is gracious. It cost Him His Son that we might be holy and blameless. Even through, in love He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ. Now why did He do this? According to the purpose of His will. So, He didn't do it according to my will. He did it according to His will, which is going to impact my will. But He did it according to His will. It doesn't start with my will that allows Him to will. It starts with His will that allows me to will. It begins with Him, not with me. According to the purpose of His will. So let me ask any of y'all, do not go into a verbal explosion right now. Just, have I said anything inaccurate? Well, let me ask you another question. Do you still believe the Bible is the Word of God? Inerrant, infallible. Okay, good. Just want to make sure we're working from the same page here, all right? Because we're into some, what the confession calls challenging doctrines. There's no doubt about it's challenging. But there, anything challenging actually becomes more glorious when embraced. And so, in love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will. So how did He do that? By His will. Now we're going to see, He did it by His will. Am I unwilling when I come to Christ? Oh no, I'm not unwilling. But why am I not unwilling? Because He willed to change my will. Anyone who will come to Christ can come. But you won't will until He changes your wonder. Anybody that wants to come to Jesus can come, but you're not going to want to until He changes your wonder. And He doesn't change your wonder unless He wants to. According to the purpose of His own will. And guess what? He doesn't get anything out of this. All He does is get a problem when He gets me. He didn't make this decision and this decree based upon what I bring to the table. He made it out of His own character, grace, mercy, and will. Ultimately, why? If you don't get this one, we got a problem. Because you're going to ask me a lot of questions like, why did He ever let sin in the world? Why doesn't he choose everybody? And here's what you got to understand. Ultimately, when God's grace comes out, why does he show this grace? In love, he predestined us to adoption to himself as sons through Jesus according to the purpose of his will. Why? Crescendo. This is the time Chris Nugent starts beating the timpani and the cymbals in the orchestra at Briarwood. Right now. To the praise of his glory. That's why. That's the ultimate. All of life does not revolve around me and you. All of life, created, redeemed, and sustained, is for the praise of his glory. Now that's what the Father has done. Well, has the Father done something that the Son comes and does something else? Or is there an alignment in the Trinity? Not only in creation, but also in redemption by the decrees of God. Well, let's see. Let's go to the next word. In him, who's that him? Oh, I'm sorry. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed, there's that blessing, us in the beloved. In him, who's the in the beloved? That's who we're referring to. That's Christ. In him, now watch, we have redemption. He bought us from our slavery and emancipated us. What were we enslaved to? Our sin natures and our sin. In he redeemed us from our sin nature. He bought us. In him we have redemption. How? Through his atoning death, his blood. That's not unlike my liberal friends in Christianity. The death of Jesus is not just simply an exemplary death. It's an atoning death. It's not a martyr's death. It's a redeeming death. He's doing something. He's taking my place. He is purchasing me, bought with his blood. In him we have redemption through his blood. What's the result? What's another blessing? The forgiveness of our trespasses. He dies and redeems us from all the sins. Whose gets all their sins paid for? The elect. That's who gets them all paid for. Well, Harry, what about everybody else? Well, if they're the elect, yeah, but if they're not, because if they're not, then they can't be sent to hell. If God sent people to hell whose sins were forgiven, God would be what? This isn't hard. Come on, guys, don't look too deep. Unjust. In other words, God, instead of holy, now puts people through into double jeopardy. And instead of the wages of sin is death, the wages of sin is two deaths. So here is the design of the atoning death of Jesus. Now hold on to this. We're not going to take a lot of time. I'm not going to go too deeply here because we've got to get back here further in the catechism. But it's here, so I wanted to deal with it. In him, we, who's the we? The chosen, the elect. We have redemption. How? Through his blood. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. His grace, which he what? Lavished. Don't you love that? I mean, I don't know about you, but, I mean, I wish I had more lavishing in my life. I mean, I've got so much Celtic frugality built in me. You know, I go out and I get the check, and there it says 18%, 20%, 25%. What happened to 10? That's what I want to know. What happened to the 10% deal? What happened to this? And I'm not into lavishness, but God spared nothing to save you. In fact, he chose you before the foundation of the world, and he knew what it would cost, because the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. So he lavishes his grace upon us that we're praising him for. Now how did he do this? In all wisdom. So I'm not saying, guys, this isn't hard to work through. But whatever you do, don't say, God, you got this wrong. Unless you think you're wiser. Because this just said everything that he's doing is what? In all wisdom. In all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. That's called the Bible. He revealed this to us in the Bible. Making known to us the mystery of his will according, oh, here we are again, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him. That's Jesus. Things in heaven and things on earth. This is all coming to a consummation. What we start in the foundation of the world is coming to a consummation as we go into a new heavens and a new earth. In him, that's back to Jesus, we have obtained an inheritance. You didn't earn your salvation. It's a gift. It's an inheritance. What happens when someone dies? When they die, the beneficiaries get the blessings of the testament. We live in a new testament, a new covenant. When Jesus died, we get the blessings. And the affirmation of that beneficiary is in his resurrection and his ascension. The consummation of that beneficiary, the execution of the entirety of the will, is in his return and the consummation. So here is our inheritance. Why? Why do we have this inheritance? Guys, I know we got to struggle with predestination and the decrees of God. I know, I understand we got to struggle with it. I understand that. Made in the image of God, but there's a struggle for us on this. But here's the fact. If it's not true, you don't have an inheritance. Here's what he says. We have obtained an inheritance. Why? Because we've been predestined. Why were we predestined? Because we allowed God to do this. No. Why have we been predestined? According to his purpose. The purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of whose will? His will. Not our will. It's not what I will for him to do. It's what he wills to do. According to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be, and here we got crescendo number two. Hit it, Chris. To the praise of his glory. So guess what? God the Father authored this. Guess what? For the praise of his glory. Guess what? God the Son accomplished the decrees of God the Father. To the praise of his glory. Now, we only got one problem. We're still in our sins in this time and space. Now, look what happens. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in him, now you were sealed with the promise. Holy Spirit. Who promised him? Jesus. He comes. You have him. He who is the guarantee of our inheritance. He is the seal and the security of that inheritance Jesus purchased, which the Father ordained and decreed. He who is the guarantee of our inheritance until he's the down payment. Then we're going to get the whole kit and caboodle until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And that's in the consummation. And that's the full. Now we have it, but not yet in its fullness. We have that when we're with him for all eternity. So you ask me, do I believe in the decrees of God? Absolutely. Bingo. That's it right there. Now, I could do this in Colossians. I can do this in Romans. I can do this all throughout the Old Testament. In fact, can I do a couple of other things? Because I'm pressed on time, and I just give you a couple of other things. I need my volunteers to step up now. Who has for me Jeremiah 10:23? Who has that one? Bob, thank you. We're going to give you a microphone. This is a Hollywood test.
Hey, Jeremiah 10:23. I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps.
So do we walk? Yes. Do we step? Yes. But the right steps and the right direction is not within us. It comes from outside of us. It comes from God. We can't step to the right way without Him empowering us and directing us. It begins with Him, not with us. All right? Who had 13:23? All right.
Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then also, you can do good who are considered to do evil.
So I'm born what?
Accustomed to do evil.
Accustomed to, so I'm born, let me work that passage out with you. So I'm born what? Dead in my sins. I'm in the bondage of my sin. Can I change myself? What, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard change his spots? Then you can change yourself. No, we're dead in our sins. We can't change ourselves. We need to be changed. And the unchangeable, immutable God is the one who decrees our change. Praise His name. Not praise Him. And by the way, I sure am glad I let Him do this. Give me a little credit. We fight for a little credit, believe me. And one of the most liberating things is it's of Him, to Him, and through Him. Salvation is of the Lord from all eternity. By His decrees, at the cost of His Son, who sent the Spirit and brought us to Him. That's why we sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a... And by the way, I wasn't too bad a wretch. I kind of wanted to come to Jesus. No, I was a wretch. I was blind. Now this is the great thing that He did for us. Now, when you ask me, how did you get here? Well, one day I decided to kind of let Jesus take over. No, Jesus took over. And He wasn't doing a remodeling job. He wasn't doing a fixer-upper. He was doing a takeover, is what He was doing. And when He took over, I came to Him. And that's how He brought me to Himself, in Jesus. All right? Now, let me do even more precisely. Who's got the Psalm 110? Thank you, David. Wait a minute, and everybody needs to hear you. I love this verse. I wish you'd have been with me in my devotional life when I read this verse in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I got up and, I mean, I waved the flag. I started blowing the trumpet. I went Pentecostal on this verse, okay?
Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments from the womb of the morning. The dew of your youth will be yours.
All right, so let me ask you guys a question. Do you have to make a decision to come to Jesus when you get converted? Yes. But why did you make the decision to come to Jesus? Because God decided to set you free. We, listen to the text. Do we volunteer to come to Christ? Absolutely. He doesn't bypass your mind, your emotions, and your will. He works on them so that you know and come and will. We will, His people, it says, volunteer freely. Why? Because He sets us free. Until then, what are we? We're in bondage. The only one who has a free will is God, who purposes everything according to what? His own will. I am a free moral agent. I make decisions. But my will that informs those decisions is in the bondage of sin. Unless God's grace restrains me, common grace, or saves me, redeeming grace, I will always choose to sin and glorify myself. I will always do that. But His people, His elect, will volunteer with freedom. will volunteer freely. When? In the day of His power, not our power. See, I'm hoping Amazing Grace is really going to get excited for you the next time. You won't be sitting there, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. See? Wonder if he's going to sing all the verses. Hopefully you'll kind of get excited about this thing to the praise of His glorious grace. Okay, I'm almost through. Let me just make a couple of final... who had James 1:18? Thank you, sir. Here comes your microphone. Wait a minute.
James 1:18. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures.
So, when did you come to Jesus? When were you brought forth from death into life? According to His will. His decree. You came forward. And what did He use? And now you know why I love to study and preach. Because He uses the word of truth to bring you. It's not the preacher and the word that's bringing you forth. It's God who uses His word preached. Faith comes by through the word of truth. He brings you forth. But who brought you forth? Not the preacher, not even the Bible, and not yourself. You got brought forth through the word by the Spirit, who came from the decree of God the Father because of what God the Son had done for you at the cross in redemption. So here's just a couple of thoughts. Why do we use the word decree? Well, A, it's biblical, and we're going to talk about this more. So I know we're done, kind of out. We're going to get back into this next week. And this is a biggie. I understand this is a biggie. And I'll kind of come around to the tables, and you can assault me, and we'll talk about this. But here's what I want you to see, and I want you to think through. You got a God-centered, God-delivered, God secured salvation. And if God's dependent upon you to save you, then you have to quit saying, I'm secure in Jesus. Because if it's through you, it can also be taken away because of you. If salvation isn't of the Lord and from the Lord, then the Lord isn't the one that keeps you. This isn't, God, I decided, now that means you're bound to my will. No, no. This is the God who decided, who set us free, changed our will so that we came to Him by working on our mind, emotions, and will, set us free. That's why He said to Nicodemus, you cannot see or enter the kingdom until you're born again. It's not if you come to me, you can be born again. I've got to come to you. You've got to be born again. According to my will and my power, I bring you forth. Through the word of truth and the Spirit of God, who uses that word, as we're born of the Spirit and born of the imperishable seed, the word of God. Secondly, I just want you to know this. God isn't doing this thing serendipity. He didn't wake up this morning, okay, what's happening in the elections? Let me see what I got to go work with here. These are decrees from eternity. Now, are we really, are we actually moral agents making choices? Yes, according to our spiritual condition. And unless God sets us free, we'll always make the wrong choices. Or unless God sends common grace to restrain us, we always make the wrong choices. And so here is the fact that God isn't winging this. This is why it's so important. This isn't God winging. Well, I wonder what we're going to do in 2022. And I wonder, okay, now when is it that I should send Jesus back? He's not winging these things. He has decreed before the foundation of the world. The eternal God that works in time, He is not governed by time. 1,000 years are like one day with Him. That's not a formula. That's a declaration. He is above time, before time, and decrees from into time. And a timing is working out His decrees. Not timing is directing His decrees. And then, of course, the last thing I'll say is this. as God's decrees is are working, I want you to know the very heart of God in these matters. And that's this. Now, just if I can make these last two comments. See Jesus on the week that he's going to pay for all the sins of all of his people. Lord, he prays, I ask not for the world, I ask for those whom you've given me out of the world, that we lose not one. But yet he stands. I've stood at the very place he stood. And look, Bob, you were with me. He stood and looked over Jerusalem. And what did he do, Bill? He wept. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered you to myself. You see this general call. He's opened the door. How oft I would have gathered you to myself. But you would not. This isn't God making people not come to him. This is God securing a people to come to him. When people go to hell, they're actually going where they want to go. They just didn't know what they wanted. In life, they didn't want God. In hell, you don't get him. Now you got what you want, but it's like a lot of other things. It's a lot more than you bargained for. And the only reason you and I aren't there is because of God's love and grace decreed before the foundation of the world. Everyone who embraces sin wants to. What changed was you. And you didn't change yourself. He changed you. That's why we sing to the praise of his glorious grace. And that's why I love the fact that John keeps bringing us to the doxology Sunday morning, Sunday night, every Sunday night, and a lot of Sunday mornings. That's the hymn of the ages. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Ephesians 1. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All right, guys, I'll come around. Let me pray for you. God, please bless the food. Boy, we really went into some stuff today. Please bless your men here that love you, and with them, I thank you that you first loved them, not just when Jesus went to the cross, but before eternity. Before we'd even done anything good or bad, you chose to save us. Then you saved us in your Son. Then you sent your Holy Spirit, who set us free so that we would voluntarily come to you mentally, emotionally, and volitionally. And now we are yours and you are ours. And it's all because of you. Praise your name forever. Amen.